for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning. I'm serious.
Praise God. Praise God. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers. Father God, today in the name of Jesus, we set our faith in agreement with Jesus believers all over the world. And Lord God, this morning, I want to pray for salvation. You said that harvest was ripe. You said that the laborers were few. You said, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. Into his harvest. Father God, I pray this morning for laborers in the vineyard for the harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray this morning that you would save those people that knew you and still know you, because you said that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But they still think that they're under your sanctity, because you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But God, they don't understand that your anointing is your presence and that your presence cannot abide in sin. And yes, God, you're with them, but the power of your presence is not with them. The blessings of your presence is not with them. The fruits of your presence is not with them. So my prayer this morning, manifest your presence in all those that have slidden away from you, because you said you're married to the backslider. I'm asking you to manifest your presence in such a manner it would bring them back to you. Manifest your presence in such a way that they will know something is lacking and that they will hunger and seek after your presence. I ask you that this morning. I ask you to go into those places within the souls of men and women that are lost and deceived because they think that you're still blessing them. And Lord, I'm not saying you're not blessing them, but you cannot bless them to the fullness and in the manner in which you desire to bless them. open their eyes so that they can see this. And then, Holy Spirit, draw them back to Jesus. And I thank you, you always answer my prayers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ted Lyon yesterday, you're still the Ted Lyon too. Only we just changed that one word. Ted, I thank you for it, God. I thank you for each and every person that gets up in the morning and starts and commands their morning through you and with you, Lord God. I ask you to bless them in a very special way. Let them know that it is your purpose that they're even affiliated with this ministry here. What would I like you to do, God? Manifest your presence to them in a special way. Let them see you and know you better than yesterday. I had the pleasure from God yesterday of ministering to a young 30-something couple that's going to be married the 1st of May. And a really nice-looking couple. They look good together. They're both handsome. He's handsome. She's pretty. But you know what? I saw the glory of God on them. I didn't even tell them. But I saw the glory. First it came out about an inch. Then it went to about 5 inches. Because I had them, you know, social distance. One on one side of the church, the other on the other side of the church. And I saw, excuse me, I actually saw with my natural eyes the glory of God extend from her to him. And then after we did some deliverance, I saw it extend from him to her and form like under a covering. It was like a covering came over both of them. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And it was so good. You know, it was good to see that they wanted to be delivered, set free from the hidden works of darkness. Now, they had had deliverance before. As a matter of fact, she is a dedicated listener. I don't know. But I never met her before. But they've been through much deliverance off of the podcast. So I want to thank God for those podcasts. And it took a long time. I'm meeting people now that have been listening and getting deliverance like for over a year or two. And they're contacting the ministry because they want to come now and be delivered. under the anointing. And I know that this is a work and a move of God because I saw the glory manifest over them. And I saw it get bigger and bigger. And I saw it to the point that I'm thinking about, I don't know, we'll see. I'm thinking about going to their wedding to see what God is going to do. Wouldn't that be marvelous to go to a wedding and everybody at the wedding get delivered? That's the kind of stuff I think about. But I know this, that the bride and the groom experience deep deliverance. Can you imagine how good that marriage is going to be? To get delivered before you get married. Just awesome. Just awesome. That's all I could say. And I had so much fun because that's fun to me. That's my, idea of fun. I had so much fun being around them. Oh, and the deliverance was serious, trust me. But it was joyful. It wasn't nothing miserable. It was just one word. Can somebody post this word? Good. It was good. And you know why it was good? Because God is good. And when you put God first, the only thing for you to experience, brothers and sisters, is his goodness. Is his goodness. And I don't know, Renee, that might be because their deliverance was supernatural. Their healing was supernatural, and the manifestation of what happened to them here was supernatural. Might be good, might be a good story for the TV. You know what I want to talk about this morning? I want you to post this scripture right here. Luke chapter 23. Verses 53 and 56. 53 through 56. Luke chapter 23. Also, their coming to be delivered prior to marriage was a sign to me. God always speaks to me through the people he sends here. And guess what else? Oh, no, I'm going to say that part for you so you can see it. Something. You see, sometimes you have to wait on God for extended periods of time, for things to happen. And, Luke chapter 23, Brother Joe and Jose have been declaring this morning through the airways. And you're going to see why I'm here in just a second. God's going to bless some of you this morning. But my question is, I wonder if you prepared for a blessing. You see, it's a marvelous thing for God to bless you every day. But it's even more marvelous for God to bless you 2 and 3 times a day. All day, every day. And he can do it. And it's only one thing that prevents him from doing it, brothers and sisters, and that's you. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, and it really grieves me that some of you Jesus lovers have put such restrictions on God. And it's not your fault, really. It's the fault of preachers like me that have not to you the degree in which God is capable of moving in your life. It's because of preachers like me that don't tell you that God is not restricted and they don't convey it to the point where you get it, where you really get it. Fault of preachers like me that don't bother to go deep enough to break the bondage off your life, that really and truly you were born into it, and then don't break the bondage off your life that you self-inflicted. And as I ask myself all the time, why, God? Because you cannot break off of somebody else what you bound by yourself. And that's why God tells you, know no man by the flesh, but know each man, woman, and child, and animal by the spirits that are operating through them. And a lot of times, spirits are sent by Satan to connect a familiar spirit that is worse than the one you got with you to cause you to go deeper and to be held down more. He'll send somebody else with the same spirit, only to a greater degree. Are you understanding me this morning? Like, I prayed for a man this week. That was bound by pornography. And as I was praying for him, he was telling me about this lady that he met. And that I said, okay. And that how he was going to help her, pray for her. I said, well, can you tell me a little bit about her? He said, well, she got saved from sex industry. I said, now, wait a minute. You got a problem with pornography, and you getting ready to pray for a lady that is saved, and she was saved from sex industry. I said, well, what did she do in the sex industry? He said, well, she was, I said, okay. He said, he said she was a sex worker. I said, was she a prostitute? He said, yeah. I said, do you know how she got saved? And he told me that she went to this church in Washington, D.C., which I happen to know the church. I said, do you understand? I said, call her up and ask her one question. Ask her if I could be on the phone. He said, okay, because he told her to get on this line. that it would be a good idea. So he called her up. I met her on the phone. And she said she had been praying, because he'd been on this line quite a while. And he had received a lot of deliverance, but he wasn't free. So I said to her, I said, did you ever receive any deliverance? And as I'm saying to her, did you ever receive any deliverance? As she opened her mouth to speak, this demon said, hell no. I said, what? I said, who is this? Said, I'm her pimp. I said, no, you're a demon. And I could hear her screaming. The thing was talking. She was screaming. He started praying in tongues. And I said, God, Jesus, this is interesting. What is this? So I went on, because the demon manifested. I had to go ahead and cast it out, the demon that was from her pimp that had her on the street hooking and brought her from Canada, Ottawa, Canada, to the USA to do sex work. And I'm hearing him praying, and I'm feeling, I'm discerning, recognizing fear. And so I just said, Holy Spirit, what you want me to do here? And the Holy Spirit said, well, bind the pornography, bind the incubus and the succubus. I bound the incubus, I bound the succubus. I bound bestiality, because this is all the stuff she had been in, bestiality. I bound, what else did I have to bind up? Pan. And I had to bind up, Pan is that demon over orgies. So I bound up all those demons. Oh, Asmodeus, yeah. And Lilith, I had to bind all that stuff up. And by the time I got that bound and started casting it out, the Holy Spirit was taking both of them through deliverance at the same time. So when I got done with that, I asked him to hold on, and I wanted her to hear me cast the demons out of him that had transferred from her. And then I told him to hold on, because I wanted him to hear me cast the demons out of her that had transferred from him. So I cast those demons out. And I suggested to them, she had never had any deliverance, but she had transferred all those demons back on him. And after she cast them back on him, they transferred from him back on her. Because that's how demons do. That's how demons do when you come into agreement with somebody that has the same demons, same familiar spirits, brothers and sisters, that you have. And especially when you open yourself up to them. Now, he came into 100% agreement with her, and she came into 100% agreement with him when he prayed for her, and she received the prayer from him. And as he opened himself up praying for her, the demons had every right to transfer to him. Do you understand what happened with them people? These are different people. This was over the phone, but it was all yesterday. And so I was thinking, when I finished binding them up, blocking them, and asking them to be on this line for at least the next couple months. But I was thinking, and I was asking God, I said, God, why did you allow that to happen? He said it was time. He said it was time for her to be delivered. It was time for him to see that he wasn't as delivered as he thought he was. And it was time for the lust demon to demonstrate that it has no power where faith is activated. You see, his faith was activated. He had a hidden agenda. He was praying for her because he was lusting after her. Hello? And he was gonna use God to get her. Are you seeing this? Do you understand? How many of you understand what I'm saying? He offered to pray for her, but he was manipulating because he wanted her. He didn't offer to pray for her because he wanted. If it was all God, he would have not just offered to pray for her. He would have told her, "You got some demons. You need to be delivered." But if he had told her that, it would have caused her to be on guard and cautious. Probably would have scared her. Because God just did it. He just sovereignly had the demon. The anointing just made that demon come up, out, and manifest. And was going to cuss me out. That doesn't even bother me. What do I care? I'm a dead woman walking, like I said. You can't cuss me out. You can cuss if you want to. God's going to take it up. And 9 times out of 10, he's going to set you free because it doesn't bother me. But what the demon was trying to do was to invoke an emotional response to me, like anger or something. What do I care about a devil cussing? I'm more disturbed when they don't cuss and carry on, because then I know they hiding. But God just flushed them on out, and both of them got set free. And she's not deceived that he's more delivered than she is, so he can't exert any false power or cause her to have confidence in him instead of her confidence being in Jesus. Now, Jesus manifested himself supernaturally, miraculously to this woman, and her confidence is in Christ. Yay! Her confidence is in Christ. That is something you have to be very careful of. And God let this happen after the young 30-something couple was on the way. I asked them to stop by the mountain, go up to the mountain, go up the incline to the top of the mountain and go all the way up. That's the closest place I could get them to God. And pray up there before they head back to the airport and back to their home. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. The devil is doing some tricky stuff. He's been doing it, but God is exposing him now. And then before I could get
it really turned around too good. I got the call from the headliner, and he repented. He repented for the thoughts of his heart. And so I said to him, I said, now, just be honest. And I'm not going to call either one of their names. I said, this man is interested in you, but he was going to try to use a back door. I said, are you interested in him? I said, you know, we could stop wasting time. And she said, yes. I said, well, now that's settled. You don't have to use God. You don't have to use no perversion. You ain't got to lie. You ain't got to manipulate, enter into witchcraft. She's interested in you. And you could take it from here because you both delivered. I'll see you later. Goodbye. I hung up the phone. God is awesome. But you can't come to God with no crooked stuff. Because then you tip over into witchcraft. And that is exactly what Satan wanted them to do, to tip over into witchcraft. I just thought I'd share that with you, let you know what's happening here. The other thing is, obviously, God is, yeah, that's what I was talking about, the sign. That's a sign to me that God is forming good relationships. So one day next week, I'm going to pray for husbands and wives again. Because this was a 30-something couple that came here before they married. And the man and the lady is a 50-something couple. Okay, 50. She 48, and he 53. I think I got that right. So whatever God is moving in relationships, and to make it even clearer than that, the 30-something couple asked me if I would become their spiritual mom. I had to laugh. I was calling Brother Sykes to tell him that thing is manifesting, because they asked me if I would be their spiritual mom and spiritual parents, and the headliner and the lady that came out the sex stuff asked me if I would be their spiritual covering. I was already his covering. But she asked me if I would be her spiritual, because this church that she went to in D.C., she told them that she knew she had something in her that needed to come out. And they left her standing at the altar. She said she went down to the altar for prayer, and she told them that she had something in her that needed to come out. And they patted her on the back and said, just pray, darling, you'll be all right. Yeah, well, it worked. Prayer got her delivered. But the bottom line is, they should have right then and there dealt with that. And then they left her, she said they left her standing at the altar. Everybody else was gone, and she's standing up there waiting for prayer, and nothing happened. And they gave her the patty cake prayer and said, it'll be all right. Well, it was. It was. God sovereignly delivered that lady. And praise God, I'm happy about it. I'm happy. I've been up a long time. Luke 23:53 through, and people coming back too. But this is what else is happening. People thought, I don't know where they got that crazy thing from. They thought, but this is the truth. Two people this week came back. They thought I had given up ministry because I wasn't on Shannon's show, Omega Man Radio. And I told them, no, I haven't. But I was in ministry before I ever went on Omega Man Radio or did that show for Sheila. And they didn't realize I've been in ministry for 31 years. So they're coming back. That is very good. But I didn't go hunting them down. I just do what God gave me to do every day. Every day. I want you to don't pick up, you know, don't pick up no badness from me. But the goodness that you see and the good, utilize it. It's from God. He's my example. And I'm telling you, I want to tell somebody, whoever you are listening to me this morning, you need to know this. Maybe they haven't told you this before, but I'm telling you, you need to know this. Well, what is it, Erica? It is this. God ain't never lost a battle. God has never lost a battle. You can't lose with God. You won't be defeated with God. He ain't never lost a battle. And honestly, he's already conquered the enemy, defeated the devil, stripped the devil, and right now Jesus is sitting down. Sitting down in heaven, on the right-hand side of our Father, with us in him. Whoa! Did you get that? With us in him. You're supposed to be seated in Christ in heavenly places. So how could you lose? How could you lose? Jesus already won. He's been declared the winner. All he wants you to do is exercise your faith in him, of him, by him, through him, because you're seated in heaven, in heavenly places, in him right now. Right now. Awesome. So how can you lose when you've already won? The only way you can lose is if you give it up. You make yourself a loser. But God's plan is you in him, him in you, manifesting God's glory on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's plan for you. That's why Jesus died for you. So that you could be seated in him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father from a position of power and authority on earth. I was gonna do a healing service yesterday at 9, but I didn't do it because of all the things that happened here in the natural. And by the time all that was over, I was tired. So I ate a good, Brother Joe fixed a good protein dinner, and I went to sleep, and I slept so good because I had fulfilled God's mission for yesterday. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you a question. Yesterday, did you fulfill God's mission or did you fulfill your mission? Or were you operating under the spirit of omission or commission, which is sin? Not doing what God told you to do or doing what God told you not to do. That's sin. Either way. Did you fulfill God's mission yesterday? Well, you got today. You could straighten it out today. Today. I think the scriptures say today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. You got today, and you got the rest of your days. Cross, your cross. Remember, Simon, the cross was Jesus, had been beaten and wounded and battered so bad that he could not carry his own cross to Calvary. The Romans picked out a Cyrenian out of the people that were watching, and he compelled him to carry Jesus' cross on up to a Calvary. Jesus didn't carry his cross to Calvary. A human being did, like one of us, just like him, the Son of Man. And then they nailed him on it. And then he died. And then they took his body down. And they laid it in a sepulcher. They laid his body on a stone. Yeah, on a stone. And then they carried it to the tomb. But the Bible says that on the first day of the week, early in the morning, mind you, these women, they came to that sepulcher. And they saw that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance to where Jesus' body was. And when they came in there, that stone was all that was there. The stone that they had laid his body on had his clothing on it, but the napkin that was over his face was neatly folded up and laid on another part of that tomb. It wasn't on the stone. Now, I don't know why God was pointing out that stone to me so much. It says that when they came in that tomb, they were afraid if Jesus' body wasn't there. It says, and they bowed down their faces to the earth. And God sent an angel and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" I'm in Luke 24 now. Why are you looking for Jesus among the dead when he's alive? Listen, Jesus is alive. Even in heaven, his flesh and his bones, but his blood was sacrificed for you and me. So Jesus is in heaven with flesh and bones and no blood. It doesn't matter because he got a glorified body. His body has been glorified. In this same form, Jesus had already told them that he was going to be delivered. Remember? And on the third day that he was going to rise, he said that. Now, where I'm going for you this morning, I got to find my note. I wrote it down. When he came into in Luke 24, he came upon those two men on the road, two men that went to a village called Emmaus and as they were walking, Jesus himself came to them and walked with them. He went with them. But the Bible... Thank you, God. Thank you. But the Bible says, yeah, I'm going there, devil, in the name of Jesus. And God's going to move. But the Bible says that their eyes, this would be verse 16. Their eyes were holding that they should not know who Jesus was. They didn't know him. And so the two disciples went on to tell Jesus about his own crucifixion. And they said, you know, that he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And they told Jesus what they had expected to happen. But they were talking to Jesus. And in verse 25, look at here. Jesus said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Slow of heart. Slow of heart to believe. That's got to be a bondage. That's got to be some kind of spiritual something that constrains people. Yeah? Well, Jesus said that's an affliction of some sort. But he also said when he appeared in the midst of them, you know, when he appeared supernaturally in the midst of them, he didn't walk through the door or nothing. He just appeared. And that's what he does with us. He appears and manifests his glory. And once again, it says when he did that, they were terrified and scared. And they thought that they were seeing an evil spirit. And Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? So then Jesus, the same way he had identified himself to the men on the Emmaus Road, he had to identify himself to his own disciples, he said. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. But verse 41 says, and while they yet believe not, oh boy, for joy, Jesus say, have you here any meat? And so they gave Jesus a piece of broiled fish, a piece of a honeycomb. And can you imagine they sitting there looking at Jesus while he ate it? But verse 45 says, then opened he their understanding. The Lord Jesus wants to open your understanding this morning. If you can receive it. Brothers and sisters, if you're ready for the Lord to open the eyes of your understanding that you will know him, I want you to get your anointing oil. Get the anointing oil. And I want you to put some on your fingers. And we're going to anoint your eyes and your mouth this morning, that God would open up the eyes of your understanding and that your mouth will be used and anointed as his oracle. You see, the Bible says he makes his ministers a flame of fire and he makes your mouth his oracle. But he said to me, he wants the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, open. And that he was going to do that this morning. For those of you that can believe it. But it's going to take more than you believing it. It's going to take you receiving it. In the name of Jesus, it's going to take you receiving it. If you can't receive it, I understand. He'll do it again a later date. You can catch it then. I want you to take that finger you put your oil on. Close your eyes. I don't want the oil to get in your eyes, but even if it does, it's okay. Anoint your eyes this morning in the name of Jesus. Anoint your eyes this morning. And I want you to take a little bit of that oil that's on your finger and put it on your tongue. Put it on your own tongue in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Now I want you to receive this prayer. Father God, you said here in Luke 24 and 23 that they were, your disciples were only able to know you and understand you in your resurrected body, in your New Testament form. When you opened up the eyes of their understanding, when you gave them understanding. So right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the anointing with oil, I ask you to open up their eyes that they might see you and know you. I ask you to anoint their mouths that it might be used as your oracle and the words that they speak would bring life and goodness. Lord God, anoint their eyes, anoint their spiritual eyes, and anoint their natural eyes to see. Lord God, take a little bit of that oil that's left and put it on your head. Father God, anoint their mind that they might be able to operate and minister through the mind of Christ as you prepare them for your giftings. I'm asking you for a manifestation of a spirit of God, of awakening. I'm asking you for a spirit of a revivalist, evangelist, for your word to come alive. In Jesus' name, anoint them this morning. For your glory, for your honor, and by your power. According to Timothy, I do this as the presbyter, as a member of the presbyter. Restore those giftings that were lost. Restore what was stolen in Eden. I thank you for it in Jesus' name this morning. Restore sight to the blind.
Listen, Eden is kingdom, and Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset. Let me hear ya. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this. Come on, let me hear you. Put your hands together like this. Come on. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a spirit. It was his plan that we live blessed. The tempter came, we were distracted. The tempter came, and we fell. We were deemed to live a life that's simple, a life that's full, a life that's rich and simple. It is my goal to remind you of this principle. We redeem.
Come on, y'all, and tell them,
let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world. Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Say it again, say it.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Y'all can say it, tell somebody.
Let's get back to Eden, live
here you go,
on
second
top
verse.
Of the world.
Well, now it's time.
Now it's time.
We change our thinking.
We change our thinking.
Know our design.
Know our design.
And our Father's plan.
And our Father's plan.
Oh yes, it's time.
Oh yes, it's time.
We get back to kingdom.
We get back to kingdom.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
We take our stand.
We take our stand.
We were deemed to live a life that's simple. A life that's full. A life that's rich and simple. It is my goal.
Where my Eden citizens at? Let me hear you say.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Yeah, sing it to somebody.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Tell somebody a thing.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Say it again, say it.
Let's get back to Eden.
Okay, tell them how it is, y'all. But guess what?
Jesus came.
Now all is well. So what are you waiting for?
getting ready to bow. The blessing is on you to leave. Keep your baby's eyes so open, you could kneel. Hey, you've been down too long. Get up. Cause it's in the morning, joy is coming near. I'm headed back to Eden. Come go with me. Confess it with your mouth. I've got to leave.
In the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke every spirit of doubt and unbelief. Go! Get out. Doubt and unbelief. Go! Get out. Go! All doubt and unbelief. The Lord God rebuke you this morning. I bind the thief this morning. Go! Get out. You're not going to steal this. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. In the name of Jesus, I render the thief null, void, ineffective. I bind all your spirits this morning. Doubt, unbelief, go in the name of Jesus. Get out. And I bind any contamination from any witches, wizards, sorcerers, necromancers, diviners. Go! I build a wall of partition between you and the believers this morning in the name of Jesus. Go right now. I break the power of doubt and unbelief. You see? Doubt and unbelief, you are defeated. Go! I already know that heaven belongs to us, and I declare war with you on behalf of those that are ignorant, unlearned, and weak. Go! All doubt and unbelief, the Lord God rebuke you. You see, heaven belongs to us. It belongs to me in the name of Jesus, and I know it. And there's nothing you can do, devil, demons, Wizards, sorcerers, and witches.
Y'all ready to go to church? Come on, put them hands together. Come on, let's go to church.